This morning, we're looking at fear from the story I told you earlier on. And I'm sure we've all had that moment in our lives when something happens and you can't quite believe it. And what do? We freeze with fear, freeze on the spot. And I'd like you to try and think of an instance, something that happened to you to make you freeze. But nothing traumatic, just something a bit light. As we prepare to explore our reading from Luke, because then we might have some empathy with the disciples as they struggle to come to terms with Jesus' death and resurrection. The reason Christ had a very busy day, it was the evening of the resurrection, and he'd already made two appearances. First, to Mary Magdalene and the women early in the morning, and then to the two disciples on their way to Emmaus. And in fact, it's when those two disciples are reporting their experiences to the rest of the disciples, 10 of them, because no, by this time Judas was dead, but Thomas wasn't there. So they were reporting their experiences when Jesus made his third appearance. It was as if Jesus were trying to cover all the edges, because first he's appearing to the women who, to all intents and purposes, were on the margins of the faith community. And then to these two disciples, who were minor characters in the drama of faith. And we only know the name of one of them as Cleopas. Maybe appearing to these various people was to remind us that the good news of the resurrection, God's salvation, was for all, not just for a select few. But as I said, what I want us to look at this morning is the fear factor. Because from when Jesus was arrested, crucified, everyone seemed to be gripped with fear for various reasons. Starting with the Pharisees, they were afraid. Not because they thought Jesus might do what he promised and actually rise from the dead, but they were afraid because they thought that the disciples would steal his body and then claim to the whole world that he had actually risen from the dead. And the obvious thing to do for people like that is to bring in the soldiers, which they did, and put them to guard the tomb. Then let's look at the soldiers themselves. We don't know much about them. But what we know is that they were indifferent. They came to do the work they were asked to do. But once they realized that Christ had indeed risen from the dead, they were petrified. You can say they were mortified. Because there was an empty tomb. Their task was to guard this tomb, to make sure that his body stayed there. But it was empty, and they couldn't account for it. One of the reasons they were afraid was thinking of the punishment that they would get. But later on, the Pharisees came and bribed them and told them to change their story, to say they fell asleep, and whilst they were asleep, the disciples came and stole the body. And that is the story that they carried on talking. Then let's look at the women. It was Easter Sunday, and they left to go and anoint Jesus' body. Because remember, they didn't anoint his body before burial, so they had to go and do it. But unbeknown to them, Jesus had already risen from the dead. When they got there, and the young man, the angel who was there, told them that Jesus is not here, he's risen from the dead, they were trembling, they were afraid, and they fled. And Mark's gospel actually said, they ran away, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And I thought, how interesting that here we find Mary Magdalene and the rest of the women being entrusted with the most noble truth of all times, and yet they were trapped in fear. Then we have the disciples, on the other hand. During Jesus' trials, fear overtook them, and they deserted their beloved master. So we meet them huddled behind a locked door, and make no mistake, they were not planning the next worship. They were sat there because they were afraid of the Jewish authority. They believed that their own lives were in danger because they were close followers of Jesus. In addition, the Roman soldiers were spreading these lies that they actually came during the night and stole Jesus' body. But there was something as well closer to home. Judas was their friend, but not only their friend, but one of the 12 disciples handpicked by Jesus, and he betrayed them. So they must have been sat there looking at each other, who is going to betray me next? Are you going to be the one to go and tell the authorities about me? So they couldn't trust anyone either. Who knows that they might be the next ones to be dragged out and killed just like Jesus was. Spiritually, where were they? Let's take Peter, for example. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times, just as Jesus had predicted. He'd watched Jesus suffer and died, and he didn't have the opportunity to say, sorry, good friend. The rest of the disciples, except John, also deserted him in his hours of need, and they too watched him suffer and die and did not have the opportunity to say, sorry, good master. It must have been a very sad time for them, because as far as they were concerned, their ministry had come to an abrupt end. I'm sure with all these reasons, we will agree that they had reasons to be frightened. Anyone would. So can we imagine what it must have felt like as they sat in that room, doors locked, windows locked, probably curtains drawn, and Jesus appeared? They were frightened too. They'd forgotten everything Jesus had told them. It's like when we're getting through those difficult times in our lives, when everything, you turn left, you turn right, and you can't see a way out, you tend to forget that Christ is there with you. He's walking with you. That's what happened to the disciples too. When Jesus appeared, everything he taught them in that 3 years, they'd forgotten all of it. Was it really him? What would he say to them? Would he blame them for running away? Would he blame them for abandoning him in his hours of need? But he said, look at me. It's me. I'm real. Look at the wounds. Touch, prod. But it's me. I'm not a ghost. I'm real. And he further demonstrates his presence by eating. Because the Jewish people in those days believed in ghosts, but they also believed that ghosts could not eat food. So by eating food, it was to prove to them that physically he was there. It was not just a manifestation. Their fear was very real and so intense as well. Jesus had warned them several times that he would be going away, and told them not to be upset, but to trust in God. But in the midst of all that was going on, things must have just gone over their heads. In the midst of their fears and pain, all Jesus' teaching had evaporated. Fear can be an unbearable emotion. We all have fears of something. Obviously, we can't do without fears. If we had no fear, the human race would probably die out. Because fear makes us careful in dangerous situations, and it preserves us from destructions. Of course, there are good fears and bad fears. If you're crossing a busy road and there's traffic coming, the fear you have preserves your life because you'll be careful crossing it. If you didn't have any fears and you just walk straight there, the cars will just come and get rid of you. If you're caught in a thunderstorm, for example, it's normal to fear the lightning and destructive forces of the wind. But if fears begin to dominate our lives, if it becomes to be distracting what we do, it can be a dangerous emotion. If it causes us to panic in the middle of something important, like a driving maneuver, or if it causes you not to speak to someone because they're different, for no logical reason, then you're letting fears control you. When the risen Christ appears behind the locked doors, this only adds to the fears of the disciples. Jesus was dead. They saw his body being buried. The women told them that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead. Peter had rushed back and seen the empty tomb. And now he was standing there and said, "Touch, prod, it's me." I imagine that they too probably did freeze from fear. Luke says they didn't know what to do. But notice the first thing Jesus did. The very first thing he did was address their fears. He turned and said, "Peace be with you." And as if to make sure, just to doubly make sure that they understood, he said it again, "Peace be with you." What are we afraid of now? What keeps our hearts racing at night and keeps us awake? As I said earlier on, there are different kinds of storms. Physical ones, could be illness, could be bereavement. Financial ones, when the pound doesn't stretch as long as it used to go. Domestic ones, all this can make us panic and be afraid. But rather than giving way to our fears, let's remember, as I said earlier on again, that God is the pilot and he's taking us home. Our Father is the pilot and he will lead us safely home. Today, the risen Christ comes with his peace. He offers us peace. And the fact that he's alive assures us that he's present with us at all times. He wants to remove the fears in our lives and replace it with peace. The type of peace that that little girl in that plane was experiencing. We're all different and we'll handle fear differently. But in each case, the reason Christ appears to us as one who comes through the locked doors of our hearts, not to blame us for not trusting him and being afraid, but he comes lovingly to assure us and give us courage. He offers us peace, love, and security through the scariest, toughest, and most confusing time of our life. We are never alone. Remember when he appeared to answer Thomas's condition of faith? Thomas said, "Unless I see, unless I prod, I will not believe." Jesus wasn't there at the time. They couldn't see him, but he was there. Because when he appeared, the minute he finished saying, "Peace be to you," what did he do? He turned straight to Thomas and said, "Feel, prod," meaning that he is there. He was there watching over them, just as he is here watching over us, sitting next to us. We may not see him physically, but he's here all right, just as he was on that first Easter weekend. Locked doors couldn't keep him away. Nothing can. As I said, he's present with us here today. And he wants to free us from our fears, to speak to our hearts, and to challenge us to move from fear to courage, and to pass his peace to everyone we meet. Amen.